Hi, I'm Damon Fairless, host of Hunting Warhead from CBC Podcasts and the Norwegian newspaper VG. Hunting Warhead follows a global team of police and journalists as they attempt to dismantle a massive network of predators on the dark web. Winner of the grand prize for best investigative reporting at the New York festivals and recommended by The Guardian, Vulture, and the Globe and Mail, you can find Hunting Warhead on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast.
Today, it is possible for a nurse or a carpenter to pay tax at a higher marginal rate than a multimillionaire. That's not fair. That must change, and it will.
That change would be an increase in the capital gains tax in Canada over $250,000. In her new budget, the finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, estimates that just over 0.1% of Canadians selling off assets would be affected by that change. There are some accountants, though, tax accountants in particular, who are questioning that number and believe it could impact many more Canadians. John Oakey is the vice president of taxation for Chartered Professional Accountants of Canada. John, hello.
Hello, Matt.
Can you just start by explaining what the capital gains tax actually is?
Yes. So the capital gains tax is when you purchase something. The best thing to do is use an example. If you purchase something for $100 and then you turn around and you sell that same thing for $200, you have a capital gain. It's appreciated in value. You'd have a capital gain of $100. Well, not the entire $100 will go into your income. There's an inclusion rate, and currently it's 50%. So 50% of the $100 would bring $50 into your income, and then you'd pay tax according to whatever your progressive tax rate is. So that's the basic concept of the taxation of capital gains.
And so what was changed in this most recent budget?
So what was changed was the inclusion rate of the amount of the capital gain that actually comes into your income to pay tax on. It's going to move from 50% to 2/3, which is around 66.67%.
What does that mean?
Well, so that means that anybody that has a capital gain from June 25th going forward, instead of having 50% of that gain coming in income, they'll have 66.67% or 2/3 of that gain coming to income, which they'll pay tax on. Mm. Now, for individuals, there is a $250,000 threshold on an annual basis that if your capital gains don't exceed that threshold, then you'll get to have the current 50% inclusion rate and not the higher inclusion rate. But corporations and trusts don't benefit from that $250,000 threshold.
The finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, has said that most Canadians will not have any capital gains over $250,000, and this won't affect them. This has been characterized as taxing the rich. She said yesterday that we are, as a government, asking those at the top to pay a little bit more. From your perspective, is that accurate?
There's a level of accuracy in that, you know, and when you look at the ability to generate capital gains in excess of $250,000 on an annual basis, you know, it does tend to lead to people that have more capital and the ability to create those larger capital gains in, you know, in particular years. So there is some accuracy to that, but it's not complete because, you know, even individuals who, you know, would fall in this undefined middle class, which the government refers to, even individuals would have life events that may push them in excess of the $250,000 threshold. You know, for example, if somebody's getting close to retirement and part of their investments as they're building up for retirement was having long-term residential rental properties. And now they want to diversify their portfolio because they want to invest it into less risky type of investments. Well, as they start to liquidate these properties, they will more than likely have, you know, capital gains in excess of the $250,000. And another, you know, particular situation that people have to think about is when somebody dies and they don't have a surviving spouse to pass their assets to, well, those assets will be deemed disposed of. And if that happens in one particular taxation year, that could be enough to put you in excess of the $250,000 threshold. So I would say on a day-to-day basis, there's some accuracy in the statement, but there are these one-time events that can happen that will push people, you know, over that threshold. And you know, average everyday individuals can find themselves paying the higher capital gains inclusion rate tax.
Doctors have also raised concerns around this. In Ontario, the premier, Doug Ford, said that he had been hearing, I mean, didn't give evidence of this, but talked about how he'd been receiving calls from doctors and talking to doctors that they were worried. There's some concerns that perhaps this could push doctors out of the province. What do you understand about that?
Well, so doctors and other professionals have had the ability for a number of years now to incorporate their practices and operate through a, you know, a corporate entity. And, you know, one of the things that is an issue with the tax system is if you continuously make changes to the tax system, you create a level of unpredictability and uncertainty with the system. And here's a good example where, you know, doctors and other professionals have, you know, because they're allowed, based on the current rules, they're allowed to incorporate, set up their financial affairs to their corporations. And a lot of professionals were using corporations as their retirement investment vehicles. Well, now that the inclusion rate has gone up and there's no $250,000 threshold, you know, allotted for corporations or trusts, well, that means, you know, as they're getting ready for retirement and they're realizing capital gains, well, their overall tax rate will have increased. And, you know, and that can become a problem, especially when you're trying to, you know, attract certain professionals like doctors to areas when there's competition in other countries and they have the ability to relocate because it's their professional skills that they're providing. So they're a little bit more movable.
If you park the doctor's issue for a moment, should, I mean, at a time when there's an affordability crisis, people are struggling to find anywhere to live that they can afford. There are social programs that are being introduced that would help those who are struggling. And as the finance minister said, there are wealthy people who are paying less than you know, somebody who might be in the middle class in taxes. Should we really be feeling sympathetic for people who own investment properties or a cottage that they might have to pay a little bit more when they sell those properties?
And this is a really difficult question to answer because you're never going to have a definitive answer that everybody can agree to. Everyone's going to be on one side or the other. We do have a progressive tax system, and it's designed to have vertical equity. And the vertical equity concept is that those that have more can pay more. Mm. Those that have less would pay less. But when you look at it from a gross dollar point of view, those that have more are paying a significant burden of the taxes in order to support the social system that here and the expenditures that we have in Canada. So determining fairness, it's difficult to do because everybody has their own impression of what is fair and what is not fair. But in our progressive system, it is designed that those people who can afford more will pay more. The question then becomes, where's the equilibrium where those that can pay more are now paying significantly too much more?
And who gets caught up in that category of who's paying more? Because to your point, there may be people, they don't have a pension, they don't have that defined benefit pension that some public sector employees might have, that their retirement funds are wrapped up in an investment property.
Absolutely correct. And that's the one thing to be aware here is no one person is the exact same as every other person. Mm. And so you have different scenarios and different situations, and the Tax Act has to be as fair as possible across the board. And as you had pointed out, you know, you have professionals that rather than contributing into registered retirement savings plans or contributing into, you know, pension plans that are funded by employers, a lot of them invest within their corporations, within their businesses. And by changing the tax rules, you can put them in an unfair advantage.
What do you expect to happen? I mean, this new rule goes into effect in June 25th, 2024. So what do you expect to happen over the next couple of months?
Well, over the next couple of months, what I would expect to happen is people will reach out to their accountants, they'll reach out to their financial advisors, and they'll start, you know, having conversations on, you know, what's the impact on my, you know, my financial situation. Should I be selling investments? Should I be selling assets? Should I do it before June 25th? Or do I just continue to hold on to those assets, accept the fact that my tax result might be a little bit higher, but based on the time value of money, maybe it'll be okay, you know, that I pay a little bit more tax, but it's 20 years down the road, so it's not a problem. The one big concern that I do have is the June 25th deadline is coming up. It's going to come up fairly quickly. It's only about 2 months away. And if you're going to see your accountant, accountants are already extremely busy, you know, doing, you know, all the already existing tax filings. You know, we have the personal tax filing that's due at the end of the month. We have a June 15th tax filing for anybody that's self-employed. And then we have a lot of corporate filings, which are due at the end of June. And so to go see your accountant and say, we'd like you to crunch a bunch of numbers, because this isn't going to be a simple answer. It's not, oh, well, we should just sell things before June 25th. You really got to take a look at the asset mix. You got to take a look at what assets you have, because maybe you don't want to sell those assets. And so there's a lot of decision making that has to take place within 2 months. And the other concern I have with this is when the budget came out, there's no draft legislation to go with this proposal. So we're looking at billions of dollars of potential transactions within the next couple months, and we don't have any detailed rules yet to know exactly what the playing field looks like.
So it's unclear who actually could be impacted by this.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily it's unclear who's going to be impacted, but when you're planning to, you know, move assets around and sell assets, you want to know all the details so that way you don't accidentally do something that you would regret later. So having the detailed rules, even if they're not going to be overly complex, having the detailed rules in front of us allows us to plan properly and ensure that we're not making mistakes, which goes back to what I had mentioned before, that taxpayers have to have a level of certainty with outcome as they're planning their financial affairs.
John, we'll leave it there. Good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Matt.
John Oakey is the Vice President of Taxation for the Chartered Professional Accountants of Canada. There'll be more on this coming up tomorrow on CBC Radio's The House. Our friend Catherine Cullen exploring whether some middle-class Canadians could unknowingly be affected by tax changes that were meant to target the so-called ultra-wealthy. She will speak with McGill tax law expert Allison Christians and financial advisor Barry Schwartz. That's coming up after the 9 o'clock news Saturday on CBC Radio 1 or wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.